Have you completed the area of the subcommittees of council? Can we safely say we started at 2:45? On page 27, is there any issue? I don't know if I added. Are you with us, honourable members?
No.
Page 27. Right, we are class 49. Any issue on class 49, which we'll go on to page 28. I take it I can kill her? Cross 50 on page 28. Are you with me? Page 27, I'm now page 28, I passed 27, so to say class 49, and there was no response, I think it's fine. Class 50, and page 28. Class 53. Are the brains rolling or are you a bit stuck after this? You want some time to... You are quiet. I'm talking alone. I'm on cross 50.
Yeah,
on page 28. Agreed. You must just know that silence means consent. I move. Cross 53, no issues. Cross 53, moving to page 29. There too, you are saying the perspective, okay. Cross 54, on page 29. Going on to page 30. Cross 55, page 30. Terms of subsection 1 shall come into effect on the effective date and where appeal against the granting of the rights or the approval of the environmental authorization has been lodged within the prescribed period, the notarial deed or granting shall not be executed until such appeal has been finalized. Okay. Cross 55. Cross 58 on page 30. page 31. Verse 59. On page 31. Page 31, page 59 to page, oh, okay. Page 59, and there's a new clause there. On page 32, in first section 86, 86, 86, 86, okay, 86, 8.
And change this new clause. Can we park that or flag it or whatever, because that's one where we still have problems about the meaning of these things. The free carried interest, so the free carried interest and the acquisition of the further 30% and production sharing agreements.
The new clause 86A on page 32. 86A. 1 and 2. In fact, that old clause 86A is the new clause. Honorable Rabbi?
That's not allowable, Chair. I'll tell you what we are proposing. On the very saying 30%. Is that we all need of up to 30%, right?
Mm.
We all need of up to 30%. We just mean participation, interest, we leave out of up to 30%, and then we continue in the form of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes,
ma'am. And then we go to Roman figure 1.
Yes.
And then we remove fair market value. We delete fair market value. Mm-hmm. We say acquisition at an agreed price. And then we say at all, we add end.
End or production.
End or production selling agreements.
Honorable Rima, do you want to say something about that? Because we're saying must cut it.
Well, I completely agree. I think this goes to one of the key failings of this bill, and that is that the state is intending to simply take too much of an interest in resources which aren't even proven to be there. So we're going to ask companies to take huge risk of, and we've heard the figures, literally billions of rand, that something might not be there. And then, if they do find something, they have to give away at least 20%, and we still haven't been informed properly about whether they're going to have to give away an additional 26% to the... So, I mean, this is a key weakness of the bill.
Another question?
Madam Chair, I think this epitomizes, with due respect, bad faith on the side of the department. To, at this stage, this very late stage, to come and delete the words of up to 30%, if by implication means that you will be entitled to a further participation interest of actually what? 70%? What remains after 20%? 80%, I suppose.
I want to get the nick of the 70%.
If I understand correctly, it's a 20% free carried interest. What remains is 80%. Now, and then what I didn't see there, in addition to the free carried interest conservation section, subsection 1, the state is in a prescribed and starts to further the state interest in the form of, it doesn't state how much, so it can be, theoretically, anything from 79% to further 1%, if you follow what I'm saying. 69.
Right. It's 6A1.
I'm talking about the two...
It's 6A1, first of all. Are we accepting it's 6A1? The state has, through the designated organ of state, a right to a 20% free carried interest in all new exploration and production rights from the effective date of such rights. Right. Right?
Well, we have heard that, yeah.
Sorry?
We have heard that, manager. Okay. It should be there as well, but yeah, go on.
It should be there.
Well, we're saying no.
No. Are you saying no?
You're saying no, that free carried interest should not be there.
The entire free carry interest should not be there. In other words, we're not supposed to have anything concerning free carry interest. Is that your view?
That is my view.
Okay. Right. Two, that's noted, right? In addition to the free carry interest contemplated in subsection 1, the state is, in the prescribed manner, entitled to a further participation interest up to 30% in the form of 1. Acquisition at fair market value, or what's happening with that blue kind of fair market value?
Well, the term of market value is deleted, and then it says as an agreed price and or production sharing agreement.
Now, the participation interest, with the understanding that the state buys, it's entitled to buy if it wants to buy, my understanding is correct.
That's correct.
It's not as if the state is taking it.
No, that is it, but my concern is the following. It says entitled, not may enter into agreements to discuss a further 30% or a limited 70% or a limited. It says it is entitled to a further participation interest. What? That's the question. In the form of acquisition at an agreed price, I suppose. But the question which I raised is by implication, the removal of up to 40%.
Up to 30%.
Means that the state is entitled, and that's where the operative word is in that whole subtle, entitled to anything up to 100% after having gained 20% free carried interest.
So you're understanding that remaining 80% means it will be bought. Honourable Mokwepe?
Look, Honourable Chair, anyway, the two Honourable members are saying they don't want free carried interest to be here. So to engage them in the discussions, to me, it's a waste of time. Because they don't want it here anyway, they just want it out. But now, for us who want it to be here, at least allow us to put our argument forth. Look, the point here is, to us, the point here is not entitlement. Right? No, you don't want it here, so I don't answer the question. The point here to us is, even if the state is entitled to a fair participation interest, we are saying to us to we are saying let's not keep it at 30%, right? Rather, let's define the manner in which the further participation interest can be acquired. And that is what we are doing. One, we are saying it can be in the form of an acquisition to an agreed price. Now, an agreed price, let's outline what an agreed price would mean here. It would mean engagement in deliberations, negotiations between parties or amongst parties. And parties would agree on an agreed price, right, would come to a level where they say there is an agreed price of acquisition of a particular percentage of further participation in her by the state. And we continue to say end or, right? Production sharing agreement. Now, Honorable Chair, I see no problem in us putting these points in the manner in which as we have suggested, right? There's another point, which I think, I don't know where the state law advisors would put this point. We want to, in the act, have a section or a clause or something that will to say that in order to accommodate our earlier on argument that speaks about the historically disadvantaged South Africans, but we don't know where would it be, but the state law advisor would advise us. But we want a part that will say they would be accommodated in the form of a discounted price. Right? In a form of a discounted price. Now, we don't know where it will be, because here we are dealing with state participation. But I think you would be able to go through the proposals that are there, proposed amendments that are there, and try to slot it somewhere, Honorable Chair. I'm proposing that they look into it and try to slot it in. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Schmidt?
I'm talking mainly to two issues. The word entitled, not subject to negotiation or anything. Entitled, which means it's a one-way discussion. I am entitled to your car. Finished. There's no discussion to it. And the second word, the second is the deletion of up to 30%. And this, basically, this entitlement to anything from 20% upwards can either lead to a form of indigenization as we have in Zimbabwe, or a form of 100% nationalization as we have in certain other countries in South America. So that is what that clause allows for, in no uncertain terms. I'm not saying it will be exercised, but it allows for that kind of approach. So either, if that is what the Mr. Moping, I think it is honestly and seriously...
The name is Mr. Bassi.
Mr. Bassi, sorry. What I'm supposed to do now?
The name is Moping, it's difficult, Mr. Bassi.
Mr. Bassi. I'll call him Honorable Bassi. Now what Honorable Bassi is trying to... If Honorable Bassi is then really trying to indicate seriously that that is his party's point of view, then I'm really concerned, Madam Chair. That's, because if there was any uncertainty there, is it outshines any other form of uncertainty at that law, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, may I engage?
Honourable Lodema?
Honourable Mopem, maybe I can put the question to you, just to help me understand where you're coming from. If there is a company which wants to drill off the coast somewhere and spend R1 billion doing so, what you're effectively saying is, after they spend R1 billion, maybe they have to develop a gas field, that they have to give 20% of that in freehold interest to the state anyway. And then, according to your formulation there, the state can then say, oh, we'll have the other 80% as well, please, but we'll agree on a price. So, is that what you're proposing?
No, you can't talk to me. You're not going to catch each other.
Thanks, man.
Honorable Mohai?
You don't want me to respond. Or you want...
Let's maintain the order. Honorable Mohai, Honorable Mubing, Honorable Front.
The first thing is to indicate that the proposals by Honorable Mubing should be read in context, so that we should not interpret what is not meant by what he raised. So I agree with the proposals. But the first thing is that all of us agree about the need for transformation, but we know that it is not transformation, it's not a big bang. It's something that happens over a process of time. It could probably in these 10, 20 years, longer period, we may not even have acquired 50%. It may not even have acquired 50%. So the legislation defines only broad terms that the state 20%, may the state 20%, because what it says, the two clauses, says acquisition. When you talk of acquisition, where do we buy assets? You buy assets in a capital market, which has got regulatory framework. So let's not take it out of context, because capital market has got regulatory framework. State, even in many other instances, appoints and retires or seconded and all of those things. So we don't think that the issue that we're addressing is the issue of natural resources. The issue of e-participation is an important issue that state has to participate. So I really don't understand, because two clauses that are said, which the state legal advisor said, not commenting directly about, he says that we should not do something that defeats the spirit of the legislation. Within that context, because we don't speak of an environment which is not regulated. When it is acquisition, to me, I know, capital markets play themselves out. Regulatory environment plays themselves out. So the state is not going to wake up and get a long-term effect, but a range of time. I mean, for instance, during the public hearing, they said that the chlorine can take up to 5 years, not knowing or not whether they yes or whatever, when they were initiating exploration. And you know that's an expensive exercise. But the importance of this legislation here is not to be alarmist, is not to communicate a message. No? I think it's an important issue. We should not be alarmist and communicate a message which is not intended by this legislation. So I would really appeal that we understand the reasoning behind some of the issues that have been raised here. For instance, we have been much more bolder on this legislation. We could have said the state must have a maxima. We do not say that. No, could have even said that the state must have a maxima and not negotiate even anything lesser. In your own view, but we have not had anything like nationalization. You have said nationalization. We have said bold participation of states. I am simply saying, we have not said before last year, what we are using, we are using nationalization as a heading. No, it's you. On a balance of evidence. We never said that thing.
Honorable, let's first finish our Honorable Mwepe.
No. Honorable Chair, I want to be very short.
Stop fighting Alex Ramji.
No, they are addressing what is not in the proposed amendment. Malema and so forth. There is no Malema here.
He's coming as a main opposition if they don't watch out.
Honorable Chair, I want to make this very clear, very simple, so that it is understood. Look, the entry point of the state is 20%. Right? The entry point of the state is 20%. Any other attempt to want to suggest that the state says or members of the community say we want by implication when we say commit of up to 30%, we impliedly suggest that we may want 80% in addition to the 20% so that it is 100%. It is a wrong assessment. Right? It is a wrong assessment. What members to take into consideration? No, I will tell. What members are saying? What we should take into consideration is that one, we are saying you have 20% free. What is free? What? Free carried interest of 20%. Now, what is more important is that the acquiring of additional interest will be through, which is what is the most important point now, will be through the two points that we have indicated. One, acquisition at an agreed price. Now, we are not saying this. You see, there is fear of the unknown. There is fear of the unknown. People don't really understand what will happen at the time of negotiations. People don't really know. We won't be negotiating. If I am the one who has invested that billion rent into the drilling and so forth, and we say there's free carried interest of 20%, we don't know what the state could propose at that time. They may propose 1%. They may propose 5%. Now, there is fear here that the state may say, we want 31%, or we want 40%, or we want 50%, which is not what we are debating here. What we are saying is, allow some flexibility, allow for some flexibility, and allow a situation where the state and the interest parties at that time, the role players at that time, would be able to sit down and negotiate and say, in the best interest of the country and the manner in which we think business should be run, we think that the state will do well if it owns this number of assets. Now, it is different from keeping it to 30%. But it is different from keeping it to 30%. Allow the state to be able to do that. It is in the interest of everybody. It is in the interest of the GA and its members, COF and its members, the ANC and its members, UCPP and its members, and so forth. Right? If we allow that situation to take place. I think people should not be ruled by, they should not be ruled by fear. They should not fear what they don't know.
Thank you. I think the argument is based on the notion that I can have my house on top of the soil, but what is beneath the soil belongs to the state. Now, it is that infusion, therefore, of the state custodianship that we need to cut against. And no South African can ever suggest that the state should be dictated to in the administration of its mineral resources by outside forces. It can be my company, it can be your company, it can be your neighbor's company. The state has to say, has to have a say that overrides that of a participating company. But that is to be taken incrementally. The process that needs to be taken is because we want to make it a point that companies invest in these minerals. So when we say we should not be scared, or we should not be scared of the unknown, we're saying the state is ready to accommodate investors. The state is able to accommodate participants that would not demean the developmental intentions of the country. That is what we're saying. Now, I think we need to further entertain a few comments on this and see how we take it. Honorable Smith?
Thank you, Manager. I see that there's been a change in the proposed word there from in addition to the free carried interest concentrated in subsection 1 is state may in a prescribed manner up to acquire. And that is a better, much better word than saying you are entitled to, because once you say entitled, it means that you cannot sell that particular property to which you think that you're entitled, because no one else may or can buy it, and therefore it means very little except to the state who wants to acquire that particular asset, and the individual is locked into that so-called entitlement, the subject of that entitlement. So it then negates the whole value of property if the word entitled is used. So the word may is a much better word in the context. and which makes it, of course, in my view, more constitutionally acceptable. My only concern is, private sector, in our view, should lead development. Private sector should be involved in the extraction and development of minerals and mineral and obtaining mineral rights and the exercise thereof, not state. But even then, if one were to accept the state, and it's not our preferred position, but even if one were to accept the state may in certain circumstances wish to enter a certain or arrange a stake in a particular company, it should be on the basis of an agreement. Now, my concern with as agreed now is that there is no agreement as to whether A, you should or should not. There's no discussion because it is the state may in the prescribed manner, so the Minister of Minerals will determine a basis in terms of where it may in the prescribed manner opt to acquire. In other words, it will be in the prescribed manner in which the state will enter into discussions with the, let's say, the mining company. So it's a prescribed process. Yeah. So it's not a...
You can see this argument, but there are one thing. The state may, in the prescribed manner, what is the prescribed manner? We earlier, honorable members, as we talked about developmental imperatives. Is that what you mean? When you say in the prescribed manner, the prescribed manner are the developmental imperatives as contained in the NGP. That is the prescribed manner.
I read the prescribed manner in that particular issue to say if the state wants to enter into a purchase agreement with mining companies to buy a section or portion of its assets or holdings, then the prescribed manner is a way in which the state must go about. In other words, must it declare an option to do so in a government gazette? What is the process? That's what I understand that they in the prescribed manner refer to. So it's not the, in the process, you may regard it as realization of developmental progression of rights, as you would refer to it, but it is the prescribed manner, and that particularly should be the way in which government will approach mining companies to purchase for shareholders. That's what I would prescribe manner there.
I think we need to be together when we make some changes. The proposed may as opposed to the state exercising a right. I'm not even apologizing for state to participate. To state participating. So why do we use may as opposed to entitled? The state prescribed manner, you're saying that the state is entitled something, that was the initial formulation. Why do we change? Why do we move away from entitled to me? What's the, yes, what do
you mean? I think as we're arguing, before you do, you take the speech, as we're arguing, the state law advisors are weighing the options and try to reach out to all of us. But I accept that it should be in a consultative form so that it does not take the entitlement of the state. The custodian of the mineral resources underground is the state. No manga-mangas about it. That one should not be taken away. And whatever formulation that we are having in this deal should not take that entitlement. English-speaking people can come with whatever word, therefore. It's a state entitlement to the mineral resources of this country because the state represents the citizens of the country. I think that's how. Let us hear from the state law advisors as to what came to mind that they should
rearrange the sentence in that manner, and we see whether we agree or not.
Thank you, Chief. We were just coming up with, we're trying to be a little bit creative on this side, so we apologize for being one debate of the committee, Chair. But basically, what we were trying to do is basically to emphasize that the state's entitlement to a further participation interest, and by having the word may, basically empower the state in that regard. Should the state want to exercise that option to acquire further interest, the state may still do so if the wording is like that. But it's up to the committee to decide on the final wording of it.
Should we bank it?
No,
Chair. Under the banner? Under the banner?
I'm making a follow up on what I
said. Just to address some of the points that have come before, Honourable Sancho, I think that you're quite wrong in where you see the what you're saying the argument is about. Nobody, certainly not me, is disputing the rights of the state to decide how its minerals gets used. But what we are talking about is creating the conditions under which investment will progress. So it's not about saying, oh, you can't respond to us. What we have to do as a committee is we have to say, how can we as the state get maximum resources out of this? Now, unless there's investment in the first place, we don't even get to square one. We don't take anything out. Because nobody but a company that does this for a living is going to go and spend R1 billion offshore. And they particularly what if they know that it's quite possible that the state is simply going to take over their entire company. Now, Mr. Honourable Morteng, I get what you say. You say that the state will only acquire this, you know, it won't do it in one big bang. It will do it gradually if it decides to do it. But a company that's investing is not going to know that. What you're saying to them is you're saying, trust us, we won't take a whole investment here. However, this law says if the state wants to take it, they can take it right away.
Can I correct something? I'm not quite comfortable with the words to say the state takes.
Acquires, okay, well, whatever, I'm using shorthand there.
Yeah, acquiring in terms of condition.
Well, that the state can buy it out, yeah.
Yeah, so that the understanding is correct. Honourable Mai?
Sorry, ma'am. Honourable Mai, Honourable Mopeng said, let's keep it simple. And I'm afraid that the simple fact on this is, if we pass this as has been proposed, there will be no offshore oil and gas industry because nobody will invest under these conditions. And there will be no onshore shale gas. Well, try the Sea, but I can be very sure about the offshore, and I can be pretty sure about the offshore too. But even though the National Development Plan has a big part for shale gas in our future, that shale gas is not going to be drilled for by any commercial company under these conditions. So let's understand how important this is.
Chair, the explanation doesn't say the word entitled, state entitlement is incorrect or if there is any meaning. So I think we should consistent if it doesn't create and use it. The initial phrase, the state shall. The state is in the prescribed manner and has to have federal participation. It doesn't. We say that thing happens within a regulatory framework. You see, one thing about South Africa, all of us know that South Africa is a constitutional state. It's a very, very highly governance in South Africa. It's at an advanced level. There is no care that we can succeed using, even if we use it in the interest of the investor. We are the best to protect the investor confidence. That thing, we should not really use it to smuggle some issues by rejecting some important formulation. So, I mean, when it comes to the issue of the entitlement, maybe I don't know where it came from, but I have to agree with the initial formulation. If it doesn't matter, it doesn't do any harm.
Can I understand what the initial formulation? Are you saying that you are entitled to?
There was no change. There was no changes were in two areas.
Okay.
It was in 37 and the issue of foreign market deal. Those are the two issues. The rest was the discussion on these other issues. We were debating.
So what are you saying? How does that read then?
And how to prepare better participating interest.
How would it read now?
Jay will read now the way to the screen. In addition to the free carried interest contemplated in Subsection 1, the state is, in the prescribed manner, entitled to a further participation interest in the form of acquisition at an agreed price or production share agreements. Is that an or and the end of?
And
we, if it's an and or, it will be very ambiguous and it will, unless we have another another paragraph to combine A and B for the second.
So you take up that up to 30%?
Yes. To 30% of up to 30% in the line 3 will be deleted. And in paragraph A, fair market value will be deleted and will be substituted with an agreed price.
Agreed, sir? Honourable Schmidt?
Madam Chair, I understand that all the mineral vested in the state, that up to 30% is an indication that the government will be entitled to up to 30% as is still originally, in addition to the 20% of shareholding. It is not preferable to all in our point of view, but at least it caps it. It says in any company it will be a 30%. Not that it will be taken, it may be taken, but there's a 30% maximum. By removing that, anything is possible with due respect. But my concern is A, because the removal of the words fair market value to an agreed price indicates in a very subtle way that why do you replace fair market value with the words an agreed price? It denotes by implication something less than fair market value. So if you are entitled to that agreed price, the words agreed price, means as little as saying to you, listen, I'll take your billion rand company, I'm entitled to it, and I'll give you 100 million rand for it, because I'm entitled to it. At the agreed price, you don't want it, I'll stick out longer, you'll be happy to get 100 million rand down the line. That is what an agreed price means. There is no discussion, there is no a meeting of the minds, there is no debate, there is no... It says, it's entitled to. There is no discussion as to under what circumstances you may, under what conditions, what preconditions, suspense or otherwise, and you find yourself selling the price which government offers, and that becomes a so-called agreed price. That is what the consequence of an agreed price in that context is. Nothing less and nothing more. Thank you, Madam Chair.
But if you say entitled to a further participation in the form of tariffs in reform, in the form of
but that's my concern. If I'm entitled to your car, and I say, I'm giving you 10 rand for your car, what option do you have to agree with? Say, no, I want 100 rand. I say, listen, I'm entitled to your car.
100 rand.
I'm entitled to you.
It will be based on acquisition at an agreed price, right? Agreed price, I thought, would mean out of negotiation you'd have, the state would have with the relevant party, or production sharing agreements. In other words, both agreements are agreements that will be drafted by the concerned parties if they agree on them.
But remember, an agreed means there is two parties,
yes,
from the same level of influence, the same level of discussion, ability, knowledge, informed prior knowledge, to say, listen, we agree to, because, and you can debate, I can debate, you can give, you can compromise, I can compromise and get a green price. But when I'm entitled to your car, you have very little leeway, bargaining power, discussion ability to say, no, sir, no, I'm not giving, I don't want 10 rand, I want 12 rand for my car. I'm entitled to your car. How are you going to agree? On what basis are you going to enforce on me anything more than what I offer you? That is my question. How do you...
I think actually let's be a bit flexible because it's rather late. Based on if we are outside, if you want to get something, after we dealt with this part, can we just take a break for you to get something to eat and come straight back in and we can eat you? I think I said there's the water coming in. Continue, Honorable Sir.
Yes, Chair. I think what we need as the committee, we need not to do, is to read into the minds of those people who will be investing in the mineral resources that we're talking about, and to read into the minds of government, of the ruling party, by saying that when it says this, it means that. Whilst it does wrong, it does not. These people will be investing, will be thinking like that. I think it's a dangerous kind of a point of departure that we need to make. We are saying these people can agree, can reach into an agreement, and the agreement will be informed by all sorts of research information. It's not an agreement that would be imposed into somebody where it is said, I'm a license into your car, give me your car, $100. Oh, that's, I'm sorry, that's too literal. Too literal, honorable member. What it says is that whatever the price of the car is in fact, we will negotiate an agreement. You know, these market value prices make people to buy homes. They thought they were buying mines. And they bought homes when there was nothing to mine. And as a result, they are left with liabilities. Now, the agreement between you and me, Honorable Member Smith, will not be informed by how entitled am I into what you are investing on. It will be informed, give me water. It will be informed by research information on why should you sell, why are you selling, what deposit. The lifespan of the deposits in the mine that you are giving that share into. But what we are saying is that the notion of the custodianship of the state should never be undermined. We can never have a situation where we're having 56. Which country has got 56? Chile has got 51, 49, and I stand corrected on this. Other countries have got in this arrangement 70, 30, you see. And in South Africa we do not want to follow models that have never been tested. We want to step. That's why we are starting this with this notion of on a refreshed model, we can therefore, on agreed arrangement, reach an agreement of the state ownership, the state share ownership. That's what we are saying, and I think we need to understand each other on that one. We're not saying we are going to drive investors, but we want them. We want them. This question of driving investors away, I think there are people who are thinking that they can say it more louder than other people. The state wants to partner with investors in order to explore these mineral resources. That's what we are saying. Thank you very much, Mr.
And I would be worried if perhaps the entitled, the issue is the entitled. Had it been that the sentence ended with entitled to a participation interest, full stop, and nothing else is said in court point 3, then I would say that the entitlement is in terms of the state taking what it wants or what it will demand or how much it will take. But I thought if it says in the form of that is case, that there must be some form of negotiation that will take place between the parties in agreement based on point A and point B. And I don't know if I'm understanding this correctly. There'll be trading taking place. There's no reason they're going to take it as you go. It can also be based on affordability of the state to be able to acquire it.
And the production.
Am I correct to say so? And the production of, yeah. But the important thing is that it's a trade that's taking place there. It's not that they're taking it from Mahana. They're going to have to buy out of the negotiations that they have between themselves and the consent company. Honorable Mukbeng and then Honorable Schmidt.
Honorable Chair, we must be careful here. We must be careful that we are almost repeating each and everything over and over again. Right. Now let me tell you what I deduce from the deliberations here. This is an ideological issue. I will tell you, what we are arguing now is market regulation or state regulation. That is what is happening now. And you see, we have gone too far. That is why this thing becomes ideological. And I want us to be persuaded to agree that, you know, for you to, I want to be blunt. I said an entry point here is the 20% free free tariff interest. Now one must know that we what we are saying is the entry point of the state is 20%. Now we are not determining anything beyond 20%. Now, what other members are doing is their participation in the debate lapses into the realm of fear and instilling of ideas that we don't have already about the debate. If you listen to what is being indicated, is what if the market thinks about this? What if this happens, and so forth? But we are not there as we are not there as yet, right? Now I want members to realize that actually we may even go beyond 20% before the state acquires the 30% that they are talking about. And already, Honourable Chair, we have indicated that we should not be worried about the word entitlement. What we should be concerned about is the manner in which state participation is going to be ensured. That is what is important to us. Because here we are trying to regulate state participation. We are trying to regulate that. We are not saying state, as much as we are talking entitlement, we are not saying the state will force people to give over their shares to the state. We are not saying that. We have already indicated it, that there is a process that will be followed. And I'm telling you, we may die. We may die, all of us here. 300 years, some of us. We may reach that 100 years, not having reached that 30% that we fear that the state will be able to get. Now, Honorable Chair, you see, we are dealing with a point here where people have already indicated where they stand about free charity interest. Now, I repeat it. They have already indicated that they don't want it yet. Now, I suggest, Honorable Chair, that we leave this, if we close the arguments. Right? As the Chair, what we should do now is, on the basis of the argument that has been presented on both sides, you can safely close the issue
and remove other aspects. Please, we don't want us here. There's no bets here.
Can I just take another shift because we're in this room?
Actually, I'm not going to repeat what I said, but I was a bit concerned following further reading of that article. If you look at 2A, 2B, A and B, if you read them together, it says acquisition at an agreed price. That is a sub-indication as to how you could have reached to a price. And then surprisingly, or production sharing agreements, is that going to be for Mahala? Is that going to be at an agreed price? Is that going to be at some shareholding value? Is that going to be what? I don't know. I don't know how it fits together, but I'm just raising the question. Does it get back? Does it get back something?
There's
no argument. Look, there's going to be an argument. There's going to be an agreement of either A. There's going to be an agreement or not. What is produced, right? What is agreed upon between the two parties? Is what is going to
happen. You're already entitled to it. And the state says, I want it. You're already entitled to it. What's what remains?
I think you're playing around with
it. Yes, you have one.
Right, okay.
We want to get
it. Can I close it? Can I close it?
Yes.
Put it on the shelf.
No, not. I
we agreed that where we are in put
them
in the pocket or
in
the shower
again. Is that
not changed?
No, sir. Slightly, the difference is that we did inquire on the what are the meaning of these statutory changes. We got a response, no. We did advance arguments and counter arguments on this matter. But we have indicated our support for this section of state participation with these changes. So we agree. I stand here to support the colleagues who are spoken on the state participation as opposed to expanding the section of state participation. So I just support, just indicating my support for this potential with the amendment that I propose.
Speaker,
I could just to assist the committee on the production sharing agreements. They, on page 4 of the list, there's a definition of what a production sharing agreement is. So it is based on the screen now. So it means an agreement between the state and the petroleum company and how the extracted resource will be shared between the state and the petroleum company. So that will be sort of an agreement.
I do maintain that I'm closing this and I'm putting it into the bank or putting it in a pocket or wherever you want to put it. In those kinds of agreements. Remember we're going to talk by cross, right? And you said where we disagree, we didn't say voting or anything. Where we agree, disagree, we go back tomorrow on the cluster issues. Let me maintain that. That's what you said in the beginning. No, I think that's my clause now, is that right? Oh, right, okay, Chelfit, that was clause, the new clause, okay? Can you go to page 33? Chelfit, can you go to page 33? Clause 66? Consistency, guys. Clause 66? Right? Page 34. Honorable Mupe,
It is just a minor change. You see, after act. What is that? Yeah, after act, just put a comma. Sometimes we don't see, we don't know if it is a comma or.
After? Where are you now?
If a decision was taken in terms of this act, comma, take out that full stop.
I'm still looking for it. Where are you? At the top?
Mm.
On page 36 in line 30? After minister to invert, if the decision was taken in terms of this act.
Mm.
There's a full stop and there's a comma.
Yeah, is that a comma?
It's just a comma, not a full stop. And all then it continues after that,
yes.
Okay. Guys?
Can I check one?
Sure. Yes, yes.
On page 23.
Page 23?
Yes, 7.5.
Yes.
The minister is appointing two representatives to represent the interests of the state. What I wanted to check is the entity to entity, or it's the state to entity. Those two representatives, do they have equal voting rights with those people who may be 5 or 7?
Page 33? Page 33 at the point, 5 at the top. The minister must, acting on behalf of the state, appoint two representatives to the Joint Project Committee of the Exploration or Production Operation to represent the interest of the state. Now what is the question?
The question is...
Your mic please.
The question is, are those people, those two guys, or the case the two girls, the women, do they have equal participating rights as a state referee entity?
So that
they don't have a situation where they come every time being outvoted because they are two.
Can I just I think that to me the key provision is four. Because 4 says that the state is entitled to a corresponding percentage of voting rights to their interest held. So that will determine for decision-making purposes, but yeah. But for the representatives, they will participate and the state will at least have 2 in that regard. Yeah. But when it comes to the voting, it will corresponding to the voting rights. Yeah.
I move to cross 68, page 34. Are you fine, Mr. Bergman? No, I'm saying I'm fine. I just see another brochure. What is giving?
Yes, he has a point.
Oh, so you'll be fine.
So far, I have
it. Okay. On page 34. Right, cross 69. You must look after each other, you know. It could help. Cross 69. Cross 70, going on page 35.
Nothing on 35, 30.
Cross 36. Page 36. Are they there?
No, just one.
Don't let them go check our medicine because they just changed.
No,
we cut nothing then. Page 36. Right? Page 37? 37, 572. Cross 74. Let's just agree with the sake of a thing. Page 8. New cross, yeah. Page 38, over to page 39.
Thank you, Jesse. There is an amendment of a long title. On page 1 of the bill, if you go to the long title, in the fifth line, of the long title, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, after the word relating, we insert the word regulation of the mining industry through. Okay, insert those words. And then, again in the fifth line, after the administration of minerals, we insert all mineral products. So those are insertions there, just to clarify consequential amendments.
Now, how many areas are we, did we put into the bank and got enough money in that bank? How many areas, just roughly? How many clauses? How many areas is put into the kitty? I want to see if I can have share in the petroleum industry. So many. It's 4 areas, man. It's 4 areas. And what are the area reflections of it? Reflections concerned? Let's just agree on those areas.
Pre-carried
interest.
Designated metal with the national development imperatives.
Designated mineral imperatives. By the way, did you find out anything in terms of designated mineral imperatives that you can speak about the Constitution?
We want to retain our view with regard to the use of national development imperatives because it's similar to national policy or national interest for that matter. So we'd rather have it to be referred to as national development imperatives than to have a narrow definition which could, you know, which has a limited effect in the application of the Act. Thank you, Jim.
Understood?
Yes, I did.
Let me take this out, video. It's no longer a problem.
Why?
Honorable Lorimer?
It's hugely vague, but I think we pass that cannot address it tomorrow.
No.
I think we were voting on the difficult areas tomorrow. Is that not the plan?
So should we leave it as one of the difficult areas?
Please.
Honorable Lorimer's request consider designated mining what is it now? The imperatives remains. Then what are the third area?
Check achieve the conditional security supply, but in my opinion we've dealt with that in terms of the definition of in terms of the clause dealing with beneficiation because it's used in the definition. So that has been dealt with. The other one is now state participation that we've
the state participation that we just discussed.
Yes, that we just discussed, aren't you?
Okay. It's three areas where we have not yet reached agreement. Right. Now, we are going to deal with this tomorrow. And if us dealing with them tomorrow, it means the rest of the bills or the rest of the clauses can be processed, can be acknowledged. What about the buffer issue? No, we don't go into this.
I just want to once more ask for clarity. When we say, when we say that we have identified three areas of disagreement, it implies that if we have reached consensus on all of the issues. But I do not have a problem if you say that we have reached consensus on all of the issues, except three. But for purpose of tomorrow, we are expecting to receive proposed amendments. I assume that the state law advisors now factor in.
They will be A-list.
Yeah, the A-list. Even on the three areas, state participation, there's a view for and against. So the formulation should be there on the A-list. And the issue of the definition of what? Precarious.
Precarious
interest.
Interest.
Yes. So that we don't rehash the discussions that we had today, tomorrow.
No.
Yes, thanks.
No, that's clear. We're done with it. And I said for initially that where we're going to have a disagreement, we're going to rank. Right? And now that we're done with this document, like I rightfully said, can be processed, it simply means that the only areas we're going to work on tomorrow is the three areas that you mentioned. And that simply means that if we have to come to a point of voting tomorrow, that's what's going to happen. On the three areas. And then we done with the document.
That's not
the same,
that's
with the bill.
Okay.
Let me look up my laws. There's no way about it.
Honourable Chair, what we have done is the arguments have been presented in the House, in the committee. Now, we have not had counter-arguments, because if there were counter-arguments, there would have been proposed incessants. Now, there's no proposed incessants. In my own view. What we are doing tomorrow, we are voting, right? We are voting on the proposed agreed to amendments in a meeting as discussed today. Now my last point is that somebody has stolen my deck.
I haven't ended the meeting. Don't take a trend of what the rep has just done to work out. That was kind of problem. The other issue that we need to handle, remember that we said that there are issues which you might find relevant to send to the speaker as a point to vote in the House. Do you still feel that letter is necessary? And are there any issues that you've identified for the speaker under Rule 249-3B? Honourable Mohai, Honourable...
Definitely, I do admit that there were no issues substantive that impacted on the Principal Act. So we propose that we do not go ahead with that process. Of course, subject to confirmation, there are state law advisors. But it has been these issues have been there. Some have been, they have been there. So it's really, it does not run the process to go to the speaker. And the last issue, okay, that's what the call is.
I agree and propose that we get an advice from the state law.
I think the
the submission of the proceedings of this meeting. I'm making it very easy for us to navigate tomorrow through the process. With the exception of the advice from the law, state law advisors on this issue of the speaker. But I personally believe that as the discussion was flowing, we have nothing to write to the speaker about. Yes.
Want to comment on that?
Thank you, Chair. My colleague, the Board of Regional Advisor, Desiree, indicated that there are certain things that must be referred to the Speaker for permission to proceed. Chair, I've also looked at the amendments, and I've just briefly discussed it with my colleague here. It basically relates to the environmental organizations, the alignment of it, of those particular provisions. And also, with regard to the appeal provisions have been changed in the law, so that main provision is in the law. So in my view, the amendments that we have that's been identified to be referred to the speaker for permission, in my view, those amendments are incidental to what we have. So in my view, an invitation of the rule is not necessary to refer to the speaker for permission to proceed. But as far as the voting is concerned, the parliamentary advisor advised the committee as to proceed with the matter. But in my view, as a stakeholder advisor, I don't think, in my view, it's not necessary to proceed because we deal with the alignment provisions. That's dealt with, that's a thrust of redoing the bill. And also with regard to the appeal, we also address the appeal procedure and all those other consequential amendments related to the appeal procedure. So it's incidental to what we have before the committee. In my view, it's not new for that matter, Chair. Thank you.
The difference I'm learning today, the state law advice is the one advising the state, and the parliamentary law advisor is the same. What is this? You want to learn?
Correctly speaking, in simple language, here of the Department of Mineral Resources.
That's it. From the Department of Justice, Office of the Chief State Law Advisor.
Okay.
We've certified the legislation.
From Justice.
From Minerals, Department of Minerals.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that correction. Now, Desiree is appointed with us in Parliament. And Desiree has got an effect on the Joint Tagging Mechanism Committee. Yeah, Desiree? Don't you clarify me? Desiree is the one who checked the Section 76 and negotiated and spoke and finalized the speaker. From Parliament. No, I'm only joking. But would you like to add in terms of what has been concluded? In terms of the rule 493B.
Chair, when I advised the committee last week, I was applying the rules as it is. Now, in the rules, there's nothing that says that if an amendment is incidental or if it is consequential, you don't need permission. It says if it affects another part of the principal act and you are making an amendment, then you need permission. But that is my view. Theo has got his view. It's up to the committee to decide which
you
going to follow
you. Hang on. What are the consequences of the decision that you make, that you take from here in the sense that there's no need for the letter? What are the consequences thereof? Let's say we go to through. Do you have another question?
Before we go to that extent, what is it in the principal act that has been affected?
And that's it, but in which clause would you then include in your instance difference? Honourable Mai?
Chair, let's clarify this again. We were supposed to write to the speaker for up for permission. to go ahead with the amendment, or do we write to the speaker to notify the speaker? What are we asking for permission? If the effect of the amendment has hit on the policy part, which is not the case.
She, Commissioner has gone through this list, and in this list there is provisions which is in the Principal Act, which is amended, which is not part of the bill before us. So this new section, which is within the Principal Act, which they are changing, and they've inserted it now in the committee amendments so it can form part of the bill. Those ones, because the committees have decided, once that, which I get the sense that they have decided they want it, then they need to write to the speaker to our permission that they also want to amend those other provisions in the Principal Act. And the House must then give permission for that purpose, and once the House is given on that, the committee can proceed and vote on the bill.
I say that but I want to understand which of these people then become fall in the category of being effective to be major changes. If I can understand that, then we can consider it.
She circulated the document yesterday, which the closes out. But the letter that goes to the speaker is not going to be the rewriting the various clauses. It's just going to be asking that because we want to do the alignment, we now need to touch on other sections in the Principal Act, and we need to bring it, make it part of our committee amendments. So it's not going to be that document which I circulated yesterday. It's just going to be a letter saying the reason why we need that permission.
I want to ask, what would be the impact? I don't support the writing of a letter. Mm. Bottom line, I don't support the writing of a letter because we agree that we don't have the Principal Act. But should you want to go ahead with the writing of a letter, what is its impact to the processes as they are going tomorrow? Can we be delayed by that letter or the letter it is? So that was a key thing for me. If any doesn't impact on the processes tomorrow, I they no harm to notify to be maybe to do whatever that committee feels.
Oh, Honorable Chair, I'm not interested in any other thing. I want to see the path where there is the path affected by the deliberation that we have had. Now, we cannot do that now. Right, we cannot do that now because in our meeting we reflected extensively on this issue, especially looking at the documents that the parliamentary law advisor is referring to, and we were convinced that they are not really touching on the Principal Act. But now what I want to suggest, Honorable Chair, is that the two should meet. They should have the Principal Act in front of them. Take into consideration the declarations that we've made. Right? And agree, both of them, that this part has been affected, this one has been affected, this one has been affected. And tomorrow morning, they must come and convince us on the correctness of the approach. Right, and the decision that they have arrived at. That is a point that I want to suggest. To Honorable Chair, is earlier on we spoke about the tagging of the bill, right? The tagging of the bill, I'm told that it is Section 76. In our view, 76 is there to deal with concurrence. Now, mining is a national competence. But and the other acts that we are talking about them, that the other acts are aligning with, right? I have already been asked one, two. There are also national competencies, right? Why is it taking Section 76? I want to propose that you look into that, because in my view, it's Section 75.
Are you saying that you want us to challenge that? Because we remember we went to the JTM and the tagging remained at the magistrate. Wouldn't we have to perhaps write a letter again?
I'm saying they must look into it. We must rearrange it and write a letter to the speaker, indicating our reasons why we say it's Section 75.
Can we agree that tomorrow morning we can draft of those letters in terms of Rule 249 and a separate letter in terms of the changing of the bill, Section 76? I think there was a letter that you submitted, so can we have the same letter with us again? Because I don't think we got any response from it. We didn't see the response, did we? We never see the response. Let's carry that letter as well, in terms of how far the response to our request is. It should be tagged as 75 and not 76, instead of moving backwards, right? Then, tomorrow also, when we then bring a draft of the letter, just reassure ourselves that we look into the letter while going to some moment to determine if there are any consequences, so that we finalize the matter tomorrow. We may submit, we may not submit, we might not find it necessary to submit the letter. But let's have a draft that will be available here. Thirdly, let's have the updated version of the cross by cross bill, the A list, right? Because then it will be only three areas that are concerned with, because once we finish voting to come to that point tomorrow, or finalize whatever actions we have in relation to the three areas that we have left out, we must go and produce them so that when it comes back by end of day, we are then able to send it as a clean document voted on and agreed on. And tomorrow's meeting is at 2 o'clock, isn't it? It's at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Do we have a venue? We're going to eat 249. Honorable members, I hope those who are not here will get the message. And let's be on time at 2 o'clock so that we can then finalize the matter on the road. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I just had the meeting closed.
I want to be clear, sir, on the checking. You said that there was a letter that was issued before, and there is no response that was given. And it's quite an important matter which we decided, because if we had to write the second letter, we should be clear to make reference on that letter.
If I said we're not going to write a second letter, we're going to make a follow-up on what we have submitted.
I suggest you arrive when you said that you need to sign off the second letter, because there's already a problem. There's doubt whether or not. There's doubt in the process. There's doubt, so we need to clear the doubt so that we submit the clear our argument for the Section 75. I think that would be helpful.
Okay.